Vice President Mike Pence visited Eau Claire today to promote the latest trade deal that will replace NAFTA. His visit comes at a time of increased tensions between the U.S. and China. As a quick refresher, the U.S. and China have placed retaliatory tariffs on goods exported by each country. The Trump administration placed $200 billion in additional tariffs on Chinese goods last week. China announced it's going to place an additional $60 billion in tariffs on U.S. goods this week. Those tariffs have had a significant impact on Wisconsin's dairy industry. Experts warn that the state could feel the impact for years to come. Mike North is the president and founder of the Platteville-based Commodity Risk Management Group. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be joining you.
Well, we've talked to you in the past, Mike, about some of the general problems facing the dairy business and dairy farmers here in Wisconsin. What is the impact of these tariffs now, these back-and-forth tariffs with China?
Well, the Chinese story is an interesting one because if you examine our exports to the Chinese, as a country, the number one thing we export to them is milk powder. The second thing is whey. And, you know, as we talk about what's been going on with regard to those particular products, they haven't slowed down much by way of their purchases. It has been some. There's no question about that. And that's been actually amplified recently by the African swine fever. For those that don't know, whey is sent to China largely for the use of feeding nursery pigs. And due to the depopulation of their sow herd, and estimates vary, but anywhere from 13 to 19% of the sow herd has been reduced due to the disease, there are fewer nursery pigs to consume whey. That whey consumption has fallen dramatically. And then, of course, you throw into the tariff, you throw into the mix the tariff conversation, whey consumption has dropped. And so the impact on whey prices has been very significant. Prices have come down approximately 45 to 50% over the course of the last 5 months. But again, that's a multifaceted issue. And, you know, as we talk about, you know, Wisconsin's mainstay, that being cheese, the Chinese story doesn't play into that much. We have sold them some, but that's not the primary ingredient that leaves this country headed for China. Most products that we do sell them are, in fact, ingredient-based, not the finished goods that we often think of. So the cheese that we make here in the state of Wisconsin isn't often front and center in that discussion. That's more of a Mexico discussion, to be frank.
And I think when people think of dairy farming, they think, okay, it's the milk on the local store shelf or the cheese that they buy at the store. I think of it as a local industry. Big picture, how much does Wisconsin dairy rely on the export market?
Well, it's a ripple effect because milk moves freely around the country from areas of surplus to areas of deficit. So it's tough to spell out specifically how much Wisconsin on its own relies on the export market. But if you were to look at the national scene, mm-hmm. One day each week, the milk produced that day leaves this country. Last year, 15.8% of all of the milk produced left the country in one way, shape, or form. And so as you talk about milk being a product that moves easily around the country, if we weren't exporting it out of some port in some form, regardless of what the product is, that milk would have to find a home immediately in our domestic market. So Wisconsin, together with dairymen around the country, depend very heavily on exports. And as we've watched the export participation of our producers grow, and it's grown sizably. If you go back 15 years ago, only about 5% of our milk left the country. Today, that's 15. So participation has tripled in the course of that time.
Talking to Mike North, president and founder of the Platteville-based Commodity Risk Management Group, about the dairy industry and international trade. You mentioned Mexico, and we mentioned Vice President Mike Pence was in Wisconsin today promoting the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, the new version of NAFTA. That's not, as I understand it, ratified by the legislatures of those three countries. We have an agreement, but that's not in effect yet. But how, if it came into effect, how would that affect the dairy industry and our exports to Canada and Mexico?
So Mexico, as a trading partner in the dairy space, is quite easily our largest trading partner, nearly twice that of the next destination. And, you know, even there, the next destination, if you will, is Southeast Asia, which is a group of countries. So there isn't a country that comes close to Mexico in their purchase of U.S. dairy. And they buy everything. They buy powder. They buy whey. They buy cheese. They buy a vast array of U.S. dairy products. And when we do talk about Wisconsin and its participation in the export market, our relationship with Mexico is pretty important because this is a place where we do actually get to export a fair volume of cheese. And when you look at the United States, only about 5% of our cheese actually gets exported. But of that 5%, a big part of that comes out of Wisconsin. So when the steel and aluminum tariffs were enacted, the retaliatory tariff that Mexico immediately replied was on our cheese. A 25% tariff was applied to that, and in the end, it has backed up the flow of cheese that would have normally left the state or the country, and now it's finding its way into warehouses domestically, requiring U.S. consumers to make up the difference.
Now, some people look at low dairy prices, difficulty fighting export markets with these tariff wars, and say, well, the problem is overproduction. We're just producing too much raw milk, and that's driving the problems. What do you say to that?
Well, the reality of overproduction is this. If you go back to 2013, 2014, as our exports continued to grow, we continued to grow our milk production at a fairly steady rate. And in the end, we haven't really changed that. That big signal to provide more dairy to the world was met by U.S., but it was also then met by other producers around the world. And as it is, we've moved to a place where this new tariff issue has curtailed even more of our product export flow, and that's showing up in the warehouses. We've not really changed our growth rate in terms of added milk supply in this country, but we have seen ebbs and flows in demand. Here's the problem. You can't just flip a switch on a cow to turn milk production on and then turn milk production off. And so as we talk about this continued growth rate that we've had, it's been a natural function of the normal growth in cow efficiency. That's been most of it. But we've also continued to see, you know, some reinvestment into the dairy space. So it's not that we've gone hog wild and oversupplied the market. We've done what we've always done. And because we've had the ebb and flow in demand, we've seen this backup of supply. And yes, now it seems as if we have this, you know, massive oversupply, but it wasn't because, you know, we just went crazy producing extra milk. It was because we've seen, you know, these big signals for more demand come into our market, be answered by producers, and then, you know, flatten out or leave the market only to, you know, wait for that signal to come again. So it's a little bit of a kind of a back and forth lead and lag type of relationship between supply growth and demand growth.
Stepping away from the dairy industry for a minute, I want to ask about how Chinese tariffs have affected other agricultural businesses in Wisconsin. We had a caller, actually a soybean farmer, calling from his tractor saying he's really worried about what these are going to mean, not just now, but if, say, China finds different suppliers and sticks with them in the future. What are you seeing in other non-dairy markets?
Well, at the top of the list in terms of the pushback on agricultural products would be soybeans and pork. And as you talk about the Chinese story, there's no wonder as to why there was a larger and somewhat disproportionate share of last year's tariff relief aimed at soybean producers than at other commodities. Many will argue as to the fairness of how that was constructed, but it really was a function of the disproportionate effect on some of these other markets. But as we talk about soybeans specifically, there is no question that the Chinese trade is important to our soybean farmer. If you look at raw soybean or soybean products, over half of the soybeans in this country leave for the export market, and China is the vast purchaser of those products. They buy over two-thirds of all of the soybeans that are traded in the world, and we're one of the largest participants in that market. So as we talk about the loss of Chinese trade from our country, indeed, because of their demand for protein, which has been curtailed some this year as well because of the declining sow and greater declining hog herd on the heels of African swine fever, China has had to go to other sources to find that product. There is a legitimate concern about whether or not those stronger relationships, because they've continued to buy soybeans from other markets. In fact, if you look at the South American market as a whole, they sell more soybeans to the Chinese annually than we do. And so it wouldn't be fair for us to say that we were the main supplier, because we're not. But the concern is that the relationship between countries like Brazil and Argentina mostly, and secondarily places like Uruguay and Paraguay, if those relationships grow greater, it does put us in a really difficult position to go back in and try to regain that lost market share, especially as we find ways to be more efficient with our land and our resources and grow more soybeans domestically. So it does put us in a hard spot if we can't repair that relationship and get back out in front of this after the dust settles from the tariff discussion.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
My pleasure.
That's Mike North, president and founder of the Platteville-based Commodity Risk Management Group. He joined us today to talk about the ongoing trade war between U.S. and China and the long-term effects it could have on agricultural industries here in Wisconsin, dairy, soy, and beyond. If this is a story that's affecting you personally, we'd love to hear your take on it, your story, your thoughts about U.S. policy. You can email us. Our email address is ideas@wpr.org. Or you can tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.